It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. You know, last week we talked about therapeutic nutrition, what it is and how it can benefit people with any health concerns. You know, whether it might be acne or depression or menopause or PMS or just some weight issues.
Just weight issues?
Well, just weight issues.
That's huge.
Like 67% of the population. But anyway, today I want to talk about who can practice nutrition in our state. You know, first to be licensed in Minnesota, you must either have a master's degree in nutrition or a bachelor's degree in dietetics with an internship, which then qualifies you to become a registered dietitian. So each of those, you can become licensed in the state of Minnesota. And so both of these avenues of learning and preparation for the field of nutrition are really long and extensive. And, you know, to be able to offer therapeutic nutrition involves additional training and additional experience. And that's what we offer at our office, therapeutic nutrition. So no, the grocery carryout person is not qualified to teach nutrition. And I want to kind of continue with that story. But first, let me introduce that voice you just heard. That's Wendy Cates Dancer as our co-host. Wendy is a registered nurse, a nutrition counselor, a nutrition educator. And Wendy, you will be teaching the Friday morning weight and wellness class in White Bear Lake. I think your class starts, what, March 7th?
Yes,
March 7th. That is my grandson's birthday.
All right. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
He's going to
be a year old already.
Yes, Rowan's going to be
here. Oh, little Rowan. Oh, my gosh. Yes, March 7th, every Friday morning for 6 weeks from 9:30 to 11:30. And, Dar, I just love teaching the classes because...
Well, and we hear just everybody has loved your Friday morning class.
Yeah, and it's just so wonderful because so many people, you know, we had our last class from the last series yesterday.
Right.
And the people that have changed their lives in 6 weeks is just absolutely amazing. And I have one lady, and we're going to be talking about compulsive eating today. And she's in her 60s, and she
young.
Had totally given up. Yeah, young, exactly. She had totally given up on ever losing weight. She has tried every program all of her life trying to lose weight, and she had totally, completely given up on losing weight and decided she was going to take this class just because she wanted to stay healthy for the rest of her life.
A good reason.
And so here she is after 6 weeks. She comes in. She has... tons of energy. She feels the best that she ever has in her whole life. This is what she said to me. And she's lost 8 pounds.
Wow, that's amazing. In 6 weeks. That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. So, you know, that's...
So tell me about... Let's go back to that grocery store carryout person that was trying to teach you nutrition.
Okay. You know, one evening as I was, my groceries were being loaded into by a car by an older gentleman, and he happened to be the grocery carryout person that day, and he started telling me about what nutrition I should be following. And he told me I should be eating margarine for sure, and eat low fat, and... Then he pointed out one of these cereals. He's one of these brand name cereals so that I would get the fiber. And honestly, at this point, my brain just shut off. I couldn't listen any longer. And, you know, I hadn't even brought up the topic of nutrition. So he had no idea that I was a nutritionist, but he was going to tell me how to practice nutrition.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
And it's so interesting. Everyone believes they know how to eat, that they're a nutritionist because they read information that, you know, out of a magazine or from a food company or something that people put on cereal boxes, you know, like, healthy heart or smart yes. start or, you know, things like that.
You know, and I always say when people come up to me and start talking about that, I always say, you know, I would never tell an engineer how to design a safe bridge or how the electrician should wire my house because we'd
exactly.
be in real trouble.
We probably would. But people do think for some reason they think they know about nutrition, and we know that they're really confused, but they don't know that they are. And that's just the problem. There's been tons of confusing information. Even the whole theory that low fat would reduce cholesterol and heart disease was never based on research. It was based on a theory that at the time seemed to make logical sense to someone.
Yes.
But it has not proved to be correct.
And Wendy, you did say that it was a theory, right?
Theory. Yeah.
So that low fat for health was just a theory.
It was a theory promoted by Ansel Keys, a professor at the University of Minnesota.
Kind of a famous guy.
Yeah. And it was this theory with no real research to back it up. Certainly, American eating habits would have been a lot different without Keys, and the belief in the benefit of low fat would have never gotten as far as it has.
So if people are listening and they think, oh, what? I can't hardly believe this. But anyway, if you are really interested in reading more about this whole thing, you know, it's really described well in this book called Good Calories, Bad Calories. And so you get a good history. So you help to get rid of some of the confusion that has been out there in the marketplace for so long.
And how we've gotten where we are.
Yes, and how we've gotten where we are.
And why people are so confused.
Yes.
Including that little man that was helping you with your groceries.
Exactly.
So if he's listening today, we need to tell him he's confused about nutrition. Our topic today, and it's one of my favorite topics, is compulsive eating and sugar cravings. So if you are a person that can't stop with one cracker or one Oreo cookie or one soda or one drink of alcohol, mm-hmm. then stay tuned.
You know, clients tell me over and over that when they can't stop with just a normal size serving, I'm like, you know, maybe a normal size serving would be one scoop of ice cream, but they can't stop with that. They really feel frustrated, out of control, and it affects their self-esteem because they're not in charge of their own eating. It's amazing.
Yeah. Wow, that's scary. That just really hit me. They're not in charge of their own eating.
That's right.
And I lived there. I lived there for years. So compulsive eating isn't just a weak will.
Now, that's a new thought for a lot of people, I think.
I think it is, too. It is, absolutely. It is an actual biochemical imbalance. Remember on previous shows that I talked about when I was working as a charge nurse, I would skip breakfast mm-hmm. often.
Yes.
I'd have yogurt or a salad without any salad dressing for lunch.
That's what you thought you were supposed to do?
That's what I thought I was supposed to do. You know, I was counting my points on Weight Watchers. And then after a time, my energy would crash in the afternoon, and I would go down for downstairs for a diet pop.
Yep.
And I'd get a little bit of energy. Then by the third or fourth day, I was getting a diet pop and a candy bar.
It needed even more energy.
Yeah. And by the time I got home, I couldn't stop with eating just one or a normal size of anything. So, you know, I ask you, is that a lack of willpower? Is that being weak? Or was that a biochemical imbalance?
Well, of course, we think it's a biochemical imbalance.
We know.
And the number one cause of compulsive eating is not what people label as emotional eating. It is low blood sugar. Let me say that one more time. The number one cause of compulsive eating, I see this over and over and over with clients, and Wendy, you must too, over and over.
Absolutely.
It is they think that they're compulsive eaters, they're out of control, and they haven't eaten all day. And of course, when they hit the house, by the time they get home, they're out of control.
Starved. Yeah. Yes.
And so it isn't something emotional. It is low blood sugar. That's it.
Sounds simple. And I discovered, actually, and our clients, again, love to hear this, although it's hard for us to get them to believe it. I discovered I was not eating enough, you know?
And that's awesome.
And I was actually setting myself up throughout the whole day to be a compulsive eater in the afternoon, late afternoon when I got home from work, and the rest of the evening.
And I bet that, I mean, that's kind of a new thought, that you were not eating enough. Because I think, historically, you'd been always probably told not to eat very much.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
You know, even Wendy, even personally, I think since the beginning of January, I have been doing a much better job of managing my food. And I think this is a big thing for us. We have to know how to manage our food in a busy schedule. So, you know, lots of times I see clients until 6 o'clock, and then I maybe grab something and I go out the door to teach a class.
Mm-hmm.
So I have found that to kind of start taking care of myself better, I've been making our chicken wild rice soup. I came up with a really great recipe for lamb stew.
I can hardly wait for that recipe.
And then, you know, a couple of months ago, I came up with a T-bone steak stew recipe.
Absolutely yummy.
Yes, it is. And so on the weekends, I actually cook these up and I put them in 2-cup containers. I don't leave them in a big container because I put them in 2-cup containers. And then I can grab those, and I have a special bag that's my food bag now. And I can just go and put those in my bag, and I can, you know. And so then I get a chance to eat before my blood sugar drops. And, in fact, I have my containers with me for after the show because I'm going to another meeting by 2 o'clock. And so in between, I'm gonna have
my... Eat some soup.
Yes. And so, you know, I'm never thinking about grabbing M&Ms or, you know, a cereal bar or, a mocha coffee. You know, all those things I knew would jumpstart my blood sugar, so, and slow down my metabolism.
Exactly. So, you know, Dar, I think we are the only country where people are too busy to eat, but we have the most overweight people. Isn't that incredible?
I think that's incredible. And so that's a pretty good time to take a little break here. So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, an organization specializing in therapeutic nutrition. You know, since February is American Heart Health month, I wanted to report on a heart-healthy supplement. CoQ10 is a powerful antioxidant that has been found to lower systolic blood pressure. You know, that's that top number. And up to 17 points. And diastolic blood pressure, and that's that bottom number, by 10 points. You know, this research was reported in the Journal of Cardiac Failure in 2006. So if you have questions today, give us a call at 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse, nutrition educator, and counselor. And I'm here with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, who weekly finds research to support what we present on each radio show and in each of our classes.
And I
work very hard on that. So if you have hypertension, you may be asking yourself, hypertension, for those of you that are not medical people, is high blood pressure. You may be asking yourself, should I take CoQ10? First, it is a powerful antioxidant and does become depleted when people take cholesterol-lowering statin medications such as Lipitor. CoQ10 also supports the function of the mitochondria, our little energy makers in each one of our cells. So CoQ10 helps with energy, metabolism, and reduces blood pressure. So if you have calls today, we're actually having a conversation about compulsive eating. Mm-hmm. Give us a call at 651-641-1071, and we'd be happy to have you join in on the conversation with us.
So, you know, a lot of people wonder how much CoQ10, because it is such a wonderful antioxidant and it has so many benefits. You know, most people take 100 to 200 milligrams of CoQ10, and there's just been a lot of research done on CoQ10. And does it have any side effects? Well, better
energy. Only good ones.
Better energy. And a better sense of well-being, and really, it just is a positive. So, we have some callers.
All right, great.
Janie, you have a question for us today. Hi there.
Hi. My sister, who actually I got to be a client of yours, so that's good, has real severe fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And she read somewhere that carbo and sugar cravings were like a characteristic of fibromyalgia. Have you heard any of that research, or do you know anything about that? Or,
well, I think one of the things that we know that sugar and high carbohydrates create more inflammation in the body. So people with fibromyalgia are going to ache more when they eat those things. And so when we're working with people, we reduce that. You know, the other thing is that when people are under pain a lot, they use up those neurotransmitters that they have in their brain. And of course, when you have low serotonin and low dopamine, you crave sugar and carbohydrates more. So it all kind of fits together. And people really need a lot of support to break that pattern, because that's the way they're going to get out of the pain and inflammation.
So it would just, I mean, it took years and years and years probably for it to build up to this. It might take a while for her to build up the neurotransmitters.
Oh, certainly.
Absolutely.
And, yep. You know, you build up neurotransmitters when you eat animal protein. So that's why, and also that
good, healthy bacteria we need to in our intestines.
So, you know, that's one of the reasons that when we're working with people, we have them often eat protein, you know, 5 times a day, because that builds up their neurotransmitters, especially people with depression or fibromyalgia or some of those reasons. And then they actually have less inflammation then, too.
Okay.
I mean, it all goes together.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great question, because, you know, and but again, how do you...
And what comes first? You know, again, it's hard to say at this point, but we do know that the, you know, the treatment and the outcome of the treatment is the same. Decrease the sugar, increase the neurotransmitters.
Do you think the increased incidences of fibromyalgia might be years and years of eating such a high carb, refined
diet? I do.
Diet?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And all the chemicals that are coming in our food now.
Yeah.
And we just can't detox it out. Our liver is overworking, and so it gets stored in these muscle tissues, and people feel awful from it.
And so, we do know for sure that people with fibromyalgia are depleted in dopamine, which is one of our major neurotransmitters,
which directly comes from animal protein. So it all kind of just keeps fitting together, doesn't it? But again, you know, people need support to do this.
It's, you know, I can give a testimonial, because she also had a weight problem because of fibromyalgia. She can't really exercise or move. But she's lost 10 pounds on your deal.
Oh, good.
Under your tutelage. So.
And well, is she feeling better?
Yeah, she's doing very well. She's doing better, yeah.
Okay.
But she still has the cravings, but I think it's just going to take a long time for it to work its way out. I mean, this didn't happen overnight, and it's not going to, you know, go away overnight.
Yeah, but if she still has cravings, have her come back in and see us, because we can help her with that. She doesn't need to struggle with those. So.
Okay, I will do that.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you for caring about your sister.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
Thank you for the call. So
wonderful.
Let's talk to Dan here. Dan,
all right.
Hi, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us?
Yeah, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I made a goal this year of trying not to eat out. And
sounds good to me.
One of the things, though, is I really hate to cook. Actually, maybe hate is a strong word, but I'm not thrilled about it. And I'm wondering if you could suggest any cookbooks that are for meals that are very simple to make and yet really good for you.
Well, I think, Dan, one of the cookbooks that's pretty easy is Dr. Schwartzbein, which she has the book called The Schwartzbein Principle, but she also has a cookbook, and she has some pretty simple recipes in that. But then, you know, if you take our weight and wellness class, you get a cookbook.
Oh, okay.
Our cookbook. Dishing Up Nutrition, which is absolutely wonderful. It has lots of well-balanced and easy to make recipes.
You know, I've really...
Tells you how to shop. How to balance your meals, it's got so much wonderful information in it.
You know, when we design the recipes, we try to make them so that they would be easy to make, quick, not a lot of ingredients, something that people can do when they're really busy, so.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for, so.
But otherwise, on the market, I would say Dr. Schwartzbein cookbook would probably be the best.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you for the call, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So should
That's
we take
great.
Another call?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Let's. We have lots of people on the line, so let's just talk to people. We'd love to do that.
Sheldon, hello. This is Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us?
Yes, I do.
I don't know if I got your name right. Did I?
No, it's Shalom.
Oh, Shalom.
Oh, Shalom.
Okay.
Okay.
That's Hi there.
You know, my question is, I am a, well, I would say a binge eater when it comes to carbs, and without cutting carbs out completely, I find it difficult not to overdo even things as simple as, you know, healthy cereals. So I'm looking at, I have really increased the proteins and the animal proteins and been aware of the grams of proteins I'm getting into my body, hoping to stop that trigger. But are there other foods I can include in my diet to help me control that, or other foods certainly not to include to try to avoid the out-of-control carb eating?
Yeah, well, Shalom, can I ask you a question? How do you start out your day? What do you have for breakfast?
I've been making smoothies every morning for breakfast.
Okay.
And how do you make those?
I'm sorry?
And what do you put in your smoothie?
I put a whey protein. I know that's not the animal protein, and it's 23 grams of whey protein. And then I will put 1/3 cup of the egg whites, and then frozen fruit, you know, blueberries, pineapple, whatever I feel like that day. And then I put in a Activa yogurt and just blend it up.
Okay.
What do you have to say? Well, for one thing, Shalom, what you're missing in your protein shake is a healthy fat, which really balances our blood sugar. Are you doing okay on the protein?
No, I'm sorry. Actually, I do. I tried Weight Watchers for some time, so I've been stuck on that 2 teaspoons of healthy oils. So I usually put 2 teaspoons of olive oil or one brand that I use, Smart Balance. It's a variety of olive oils and other oils.
Uh-huh.
It has the omega-3s.
Yeah.
So I put the 2 teaspoons in my smoothie, too, because then I don't taste it, and it's part of it.
You're still a little low in fat, wouldn't you say, Dar? I mean, 2 teaspoons is just not enough.
And I would just do straight olive oil.
Not smart,
something like that. That might be better. But, you know, the other thing is maybe, and this happens for myself, is a smoothie just does not control my blood sugar. I really have to have eggs and vegetables and butter in order to get my
blood sugar,
you know, to get that balanced out better.
Okay.
So it may be, you may be not eating quite enough or for your own biochemistry. That's what it is. And,
yeah,
you know, just try that, switch that and see if that doesn't work better for you than the smoothie.
Okay, so an omelet, a vegetable omelet, okay.
Yep.
So we have to really start our day well. And then do you eat small meals?
I do. I try to eat 5 to 6 times a day.
Okay, okay. Well, we're being signaled that we have to take a break here. But start your day with some really good quality protein, like Dar said, and I think that'll help you out a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Shalom, for the call. So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, an organization specializing in life-changing nutrition education. A little-known nutrition fact, heart disease can be and is often connected to gum disease. The bacteria in your gums can travel to your heart or your blood vessels, causing damage. CoQ10, we go back to CoQ10, has been shown to support the health of your gums. You know, I personally take 200 milligrams of CoQ10 to support both my gums and to reduce my blood pressure. So if you have questions today, our number is 651-641-1071.
Does your nutrition knowledge come from the back of the cereal box? If it does, that may explain why you aren't getting the health results you seek. More people are struggling with metabolism, fatigue, pain, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer than ever before. If you haven't made the connection between what you eat and your health risks, it's time you do. Where do you start? With nutrition education that explains how to eat real, whole foods in balance for better health today and tomorrow. Nutritional Weight and Wellness teaches sound, research-based nutrition in a fun, interactive style. Want to balance your moods? Increase focus and energy? Attend Balanced Food for Balanced Moods. Seeking relief for achy joints and sore muscles? Try foods to reduce pain and inflammation. They have another popular class called Jumpstart Your Metabolism. Classes are offered in community ed programs throughout the metro area. Nutritional Weight and Wellness also teaches more in-depth classes and the signature Weight and Wellness series at their offices in St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake. For more information, call 651-699-3438 or log on to weightandwellness.com.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse, nutrition educator, and counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist. Star and I would like to invite you to sign up for the next series of Weight and Wellness starting the week of March 3rd. Go ahead and do it and change your life. Set aside 6 evenings in March and April to get set for spring. For example, Anne in our Wayzata class on Tuesday evenings lost 10 pounds and loves her newly found energy.
So we are offering classes in Wayzata, Maple Grove, Chanhassen, White Bear Lake, St. Paul. So all you have to do is check our website, weightandwellness.com, for the times and locations, and or, you know, call our office today. It's 651-699-3438. And, you know, before we went on break, Wendy, we were talking, we were taking calls, but we're also talking about that we're a country where people are too busy to eat, right?
And the most overweight. Right, exactly.
You know, and I think women are the ones that really get caught in this battle of self-care. You know, they're taking care of everyone else.
Yeah.
So what I find, making soups and stews that can be done in a crock pot, you know, they're fast, but they're not fast food. You know, yesterday we were working on a class. It's called Fast Food, But Not Fast Food. And I discovered something that I thought was healthy. You know, I thought if I went into a fast food and ordered a grilled chicken breast salad,
that would be healthy.
Yeah.
But it's not?
No. And so I discovered that it has partially hydrogenated cottonseed oil in it.
Oh, that's the worst.
And so even when we think we're doing something healthy, it can often be loaded with corn syrup sweetener and cottonseed oil. And I can see why Dan has said, I want to start eating at home all
yes,
the time.
Yes, exactly.
And not eating out, especially in fast food places. Because we just don't know what we're getting.
Yeah, that's very true. Sometimes nutrition can be so simple.
Right.
After I took my first weight and wellness class about 8 years ago now, I started eating breakfast, real breakfast, the eggs, the vegetables, the sweet potatoes, not a cereal bar. I ate lunch and I had 2 balanced snacks, and guess what? My out-of-control eating stopped. But I know, even to this day, Dar, that if I start skipping meals and doing the same thing I was doing before I took that class, my compulsive eating will return.
You know, so often clients believe their cravings are emotionally caused. Somehow compulsive eating has gotten that label, emotional eating. You know, they believe that they're eating out of stress or some kind of hidden emotion. And actually, it's a lot simpler than that, isn't it, Wendy?
It's simple, but very complex when we have to wade through all the misinformation that's out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. So
we have lots of callers, so let's get some of these questions answered. That would be great.
Hi, Sheila. You have a question? Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I have been on 2 different blood pressure medicines for a little over 2 years now, and I just barely caught, like, the last part of what you guys were saying about Accutane? I'm not sure.
CoQ10.
And okay. I was just wondering kind of about that. You could tell me more about that.
Well, CoQ10, if you're really wanting a good CoQ10, it should be an oil-based CoQ10.
Okay.
And so it would be in a little oil gel, like, you know, like a fish oil supplement. Mm-hmm. So it's always an oil-based CoQ10, not in a powder, because those are not very effective.
Okay.
And, I mean, I would just get it. I mean, we have it at our office, but you could also get it at other, you know, at the co-op or someplace like that. And mm-hmm. probably at least 100 milligrams, if not more. You know, like I take 200. I find that works. Actually, some of the research shows that if people are having heart failure, they often give people even up to 1,000 milligrams of CoQ10 to support that heart function. So it's a very positive supplement for people.
Yeah. It sounds good. I mean, I just hate the thought of being on these drugs for the rest of my life, and I looking for something to,
you still might have to combine both, but
right.
you might need less of the prescription medication when you start doing some of these things that help support mm-hmm. the blood vessels.
Okay.
So thank you for the call. That was a great question.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and when you say that, when you're talking about this, Dar, I think of our Heart Healthy class, which is the one I taught just yesterday, and it has all that wonderful information in it
mm-hmm.
That would be great for Sheila to have, you know, the CoQ10 and the magnesium and the vitamin C and all our antioxidants, because all of that goes into supporting those healthy blood vessels.
Exactly.
It's a great class.
So let's take another caller. Hi, Molly. You have a question. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hello.
Hi there.
Sorry, I've got a cold here.
Okay.
I've got a question about veganism.
Mm-hmm.
And what your feelings are on, you know, cutting out the meat from animals and, you know, all the dairy and that kind of thing.
Molly, have you done that?
Yeah, I actually turned it about 2 months ago. I read a life-changing book, and I've kind of been passing it around to my friends, and I've turned 5 people vegans who were, you know, avid grillers and all these things.
Well,
and
I
feel much better.
I think that most, you know, you might feel okay for a little while, like a couple of 3 or 4 months, but on a long-term basis, then you're not getting those amino acids. And usually what we find, I mean, and this isn't true for everyone, you know, everyone has individual biochemistry, but most of the people that we see that they are coming in, number one, they've gained weight. Number two, they're very depressed. They have no energy and their immune system isn't working very well. And so we, you know, now, you know, if we have someone that is a vegan that comes in, we try to support them to get the best nutrition into them with their belief system. You know, and that's what we have found. And I think if you go back and really look at the hardcore research, not just some of these popular books that are out that about these, you know, I don't know, they're kind of like fads. And so look at the hardcore research, and I think you'll find that most will support the idea that we need a balance of both protein and carbohydrates, more vegetables, and healthy fats.
I just didn't like the killing of the animals, so then that kind of thing and the cruelty is really what got me really into it.
Well, and that, you know, all of that makes so much sense, Molly, but, you know, so what we have people do is we have people get, you know, and if you don't want to kill, you know, kill the animals, then you know, there's plenty of products out there from farmers that love their animals and carry their chickens around and the turkeys follow them around and they have pet cows and, you know, and I mean, I absolutely agree with you on that level, but there are lots of wonderful organic CSA farmers out there that take wonderful care of their animals.
I don't like the free range stuff, but they still kill them.
that's true.
Yeah, but you can get eggs and you can get whey protein.
And, you know, dairy products and things like that, so.
Yeah. Okay. I just was curious.
Well, good luck.
Yep.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the
call.
It's a great question.
So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. For heart health, we need sufficient nutrients. I mean, that makes sense. A very important mineral to support normal blood pressure is magnesium. 62% of the population is deficient in magnesium. Foods high in magnesium are meat, nuts, and leafy green vegetables. So questions today? Call us at 651-641-1071.
I dig rock and roll music and I love to get the chance to play
and sing it.
I figure it's about the happiest sound going down today.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. And we were, before we went on break, we were talking about heart health and healthy blood pressure, and we want people to know that magnesium supports normal blood pressure. Magnesium also is key to reducing muscle cramps and PMS cramps. Taking 300 to 400 milligrams of magnesium glycinate at bedtime may also help you get a good night's sleep.
Yes, it does.
Cool.
Yes.
Again, wonderful side effects, right, Dar?
Very good.
So when we're talking about compulsive eating today, and I think many of us would admit to being a little compulsive about eating, especially when it comes to chips, cookies, ice cream, and bread, and everybody has their favorite.
I think so, and I can't imagine anyone not having a little trouble with that, but there are those that don't. You know, they can eat 4 chips, and that's all they want. My daughter-in-law, so.
Disgusting, isn't it?
Yes,
so we
it
have
is.
Lots of calls. We need to get to the board here.
Alyssa, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question?
I actually have 2 of them, if you don't mind.
Sure.
How is the high fructose, like corn syrups and different kinds of syrups, bad for you?
Oh.
Well, they're high fructose, first of all.
they basically are, they damage your cell wall, is what they do. And they certainly lead into metabolic syndrome, which is like, you know, which means is weight gain, insulin resistance, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, I mean, everything. So, and then they put it in baby food, you know, which is really, you know, and it's really, it's like, I believe we are actually creating addiction in our young people with because of the high fructose corn syrup that they're putting in baby food. So that's why a lot of mothers make their own baby food. They don't use any of that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep. So, I mean, it's you know, and but it, you find it in pop. You find, I mean, just look at the labels
everything.
In everything. And it's damaging our cells, and it's making us insulin resistant. Hmm. Our bodies really, you know, if you have to pick between sugar and high fructose corn syrup, sugar is less damaging, which is, that's not good.
No, that's
either
not
one of
good.
Them.
Did you have another question?
Yeah, I've been told not to eat anything like that has enriched unbleached flour in it, like the breads.
Wendy,
have a reason for that?
Want to talk about that? You know?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's very highly processed, so we're really not getting a lot of nutrients. And again, that those things are very high in carbohydrates and turn to sugar very quickly in our bloodstream. Also. Increasing our sugar, but they're also very hard for us to digest. You know, Dar, I know when I came to see you and I was sleeping on 9 pillows and I had heartburn and gastric reflux so bad, you said, stop eating bread.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I mean, when you take a piece of white processed bread, you know, kids make a ball out of the center of that piece of bread and it turns into this gooey dough. And that's kind of what it does in your intestines. And it's difficult for many, many, many people to digest.
So whoever made that recommendation, that sounds like a great recommendation. So, you know, I think if you change some of those bread products into vegetables, you are actually going to have much better digestion and you're just going to feel a lot better. You have people will have less inflammation. They have less cravings. I mean, it's...
And people that have much less digestive issues if people have digestive issues.
Yes, exactly.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you for your questions. Those were great questions. And we have lots more callers, don't we, Dar?
Yes, we do. Bart, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question? Bart?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just was listening, happened to listen to part of your program last week. And you talked about trans fats. And you said something about not to being on the lookout for partially hydrogenized vegetable oils.
Yep, and hydrogen. Yep.
And that's bad.
Yes.
But I looked at the peanut butter jar that I've got here, and they talk about fully hydrogenated vegetable oil. So is that even worse?
It's just as bad.
Ah.
Probably a little bit worse.
Ah.
Isn't that? And what had you go to the peanut butter jar? I think that's great.
I think you guys mentioned peanut butter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when we are looking for good peanut butter, we want just peanuts and salt.
Oh.
Not the partially hydrogenated oils.
Or the hydrogenated oils.
Or the, yeah.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing?
So you're going to make one great change in your health by picking better peanut butter from now on, Bart. That's great.
Did we lose him? We
must have lost him.
Okay, so it's time to take another break already.
You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you are concerned about maintaining healthy blood vessels, our class number 6, you talked about that before, Wendy, is we teach everything about what cholesterol numbers mean, what blood tests to ask your doctor to order for you, you know, and how to remain healthy when you're eating. So if you have other questions for us today, call us at 651-641-1071.
Anna recently took the 6-week weight and wellness class from Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Anna, how are these classes unique?
First of all, the weight and wellness approach is based on real food, not on counting calories or on gimmicks like energy bars or weight loss drinks. Instead, the classes gave me the knowledge to make real food choices.
How has the weight and wellness class made a difference in your life?
In this short time, I've seen huge improvements. My energy's increased. My night sweats and hot flashes disappeared. And even though I was eating more food than ever, especially fat, I lost 5 pounds in 4 weeks.
Wow. It sounds like the Weight and Wellness series has really improved your life.
Definitely. Nutritional Weight and Wellness has helped me take charge of my health. What could be better than that?
Classes start soon. Call Nutritional Weight and Wellness at 651-699-3438 or go to weightandwellness.com.
You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you have a nutrition topic you would like to hear discussed, please send me an email at very simply Wendy with a Y at weightandwellness.com. That's Wendy at weightandwellness.com, and we will try to fit it into the schedule of the show. Our goal for this show is to provide nutritional information that will help you improve your health.
Anything you want me to research, I'll research.
Yes, you will.
So let's take another caller before the end of the show. Martha, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question?
Yeah. My husband suffers from gout, mm-hmm. and he's been to the physician, and we take the preventative, and he takes the treatment pill, but he still seems to have reoccurring occurrences of the severe pain, and if I understand this correctly, protein crystallizing in your feet, like, and it's an arthritis. So I'll hang up, and I wondered if you could just discuss that topic and maybe what we can do in our diet.
Okay, very good. Gout.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Oh, that's a good topic. Gout. You know, one of the things that I know that from working with a lot of people, and I'm sure you've seen this too, Wendy, is that people that tend to have gout are the people that consume higher carbohydrate, higher sugar types of diets.
Absolutely.
And so we often see it with people that are diabetic. Those are the people. But then that makes sense because they're running higher blood sugars. And I think there's been a lot of misinformation out there about gout, be thinking that it is people that are eating too much protein.
Exactly.
And so usually it isn't that. It is people that are eating actually too many carbohydrates. So you want to, as far as when I'm working with clients, I encourage them to eat a little bit more healthy fat, and that's like butter or olive oil or
avocados,
those things. No trans fats, because that's going to interfere with the healing, and it's going to make gout much worse. And then reduce the sugar, right?
Absolutely.
Or eliminate it, so that means no pop.
Yeah, if you're having severe, because gout is really severe pain, I think eliminating the sugar just really makes sense.
So, I mean, I think those would be the answers. So, you know, I think we underestimate the power of sugar. You know, on our website, weightandwellness.com, we have a new article I wrote called The Science of Compulsive Eating.
I love that, The Science of Compulsive Eating.
So I looked at how the use of corn syrup sweeteners in everything from pop to baby food are turning us into food addicts. As nutritionists, we understand how sugar, especially corn syrup, damages our biochemistry. You know, isn't that...
Damages our biochemistry.
Right. And so that's...
And I don't know about you, but I don't want my biochemistry damaged.
Exactly. I don't either.
So sugar, according to Candace Pert, who wrote Molecules of Emotion, I just love that book, actually blocks the receptors that take in our neurotransmitters into our neurons, our cells.
And those are neurotransmitters, you know, are those things that make us feel good.
They make us feel good, and they're the communicators, they're the phone lines of our body. So when neurotransmitters are blocked, we can have all kinds of symptoms. We feel anxious, can feel tired, irritable, and we can especially crave sugar and stimulants like caffeine and diet pop.
Yep. And, you know, and we get sugar in so many foods that we don't even realize. And so I think we have to start looking at the label and see if it doesn't have high fructose corn syrup or sugar as one of the first ingredients. And it's amazing when you start to look at it. You know, so to overcome this cell breakdown and to allow good messages to flow, we basically have to get the sugar out. And I think there's even a book called Get the Sugar Out.
I think there is. I think it's one of the 30 books that Anne Louise Gelamon wrote. Many people need help accomplishing this, and that is what we do very successfully, wouldn't you say, Dar, at our office, is to do individual consultations where we sit down. It's extremely thorough. We have people fill out tons of paperwork before they even come. And when they even get there, their eyes are really opened. I had no idea I ate this much sugar or I ate this much. And then we go in depth into their family history, their medical history, the way they're eating, their energy levels, all of that. And we set up an individual plan that helps reduce gout, that helps people lose weight, that helps people have more energy, that helps people get rid of irritable bowel syndrome.
Fibromyalgia, acne, I mean, you name it, and nutrition is powerful. And it's just food, real
it's
food.
It's extremely powerful.
You know, we keep saying it's so simple.
It's so simple, yet so complex.
So we really thank everybody for listening today.
And remember, food can be the problem or...
food can be the solution.
And we want it to be your solution.
Thank you for listening.
Life, I love you, all is groovy. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba.